We're part two, and we're popping big time. Yes, indeedy. The part two crowd are ready to get crazy. As Mark's here from Berkeley.
Yo.
Brandon from Rochester Hills. Oh, wait, Rochester. Why did I say Rochester Hills? Where is it, Rochester Hills? Okay. Why'd that suddenly become... You haven't been here too long, Brandon. You've been gone too long. No one knows where you live. Jay's here from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. And this is the Drew and Mike podcast. Go ahead, explain, Brandon.
Gone too soon.
From the hills.
The hills?
South of Rochester.
Uh-huh. And what can you tell us about your time away from the podcast?
I didn't have a vehicle, and so I had to walk a lot of places. It was terrible.
Wait, you didn't even Uber?
No, I didn't. I was fortunate enough to have a friend who gave me a vehicle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lent it to me for about 2.5 weeks while I was searching for another and investigating the fire of my truck.
What's the update on the investigation?
You know, unfortunately, nobody knows. It's just...
Oh, really?
It's just up in the air. I'm still working with the manufacturer about if it might be an issue on their end, but it doesn't look like it's going to be any beneficial for me.
What do you think happened?
You know, I'm so confused. I don't really know. I just know that the back of the truck burned first.
Yeah.
And I know that two different investigations from both the fire department and the manufacturer both concluded that they don't know how it started. They just know it started in the back.
Do they still believe an accelerant was used?
Possibly, even though the accelerant dog didn't pick up anything.
I want to know what you think. We know that they're doing their thing and really finding out nothing.
Hey, what's your investigation uncovered?
What's your guess?
I don't really know. My neighbors who saw the flames first saw it coming out of the taillights, so part of me thinks maybe it was a malfunction.
Oh, really?
But then investigation seemed to feel that somebody might have started a fire back there. There's been some recent developments in my hometown where somebody was recently arrested for starting dumpsters and cars on fire.
Really?
What?
Yes,
in Rochester Hills?
In this was actually in Rochester, but it was I learned that he actually was setting other fires about a half a mile, 1 mile away from my house.
Well, wait a second. So why aren't investigators chomping in on that?
I'm working on it. We're trying to get, you know.
Is anyone listening to you?
The wheels of justice move slow.
I haven't had a lot of phone calls returned on my end, but they do try to keep reaching out to Kristen, and she can't take the phone call. So it's I know it sounds stupid, but we're still trying to reach a conclusion of the great fire of 2016.
The most important thing is Brandon has wheels. He is driving.
He
is back at the podcast for the crazy part two crowd. And when we left part one, there was talk of a sequel to a movie that I'm led to believe is important to me somehow.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And I'm so psyched to find out. But I have to pause just briefly because there's breaking news about a Billy Bob Thornton film and some shocking scenes with Christina Hendricks as they enjoy a steamy romp in Bad Santa 2 trailer. Now, does that mean there's an even steamier romp in Bad Santa? Are we going to see Christina Hendricks' gigundo rack finally?
Probably not.
Really?
I think she likes keeping them things tethered.
I have a feeling you're right about that. Because
I don't find her attractive at all.
I find her to be attractive.
I find her to be pasty white.
I agree with that part.
Those boobs are probably full of veins. Don't you think? They're probably translucent.
I don't know. Do you attach veins to a pallor, a lighter pallor?
Oh, yeah.
Veins?
Yeah, because you can see them better through her translucent skin.
I still want to see her tits. I don't care how many veins
there
are.
Once they're done CGI-ing them off of the veins out of her boobs.
Nice set of hooters you got there.
For redheads, knows no bounds.
I'm not a fan of the redhead.
And she appears to be a definite redhead. But, man, that is the most... it's just an amazing rack. It's real. She wears clothes that leave no doubt that it's a Mondo rack. But she's never shown it. And it's one of the, I mean, you would think her career is not that outstanding. You'd think there'd be a mortgage she was struggling to pay.
Well, now that Mad Men's done, I mean, she might as well unleash him. That's the only way she might get a job.
And before Mad Men, I never even knew who she was.
No.
And it's not like her husband's a huge Hollywood actor either.
Who's her husband?
Her husband is, do you remember Super Troopers?
Yeah.
The Snozzberries Taste Like Snozzberries guy?
That guy is her husband?
That kid that was licking the windows.
Yeah.
Eating the mushrooms, that's her husband.
What? See,
these careers, pre-Mad Men, sound like the kind of careers that would call for some kind of nudity to bring in a bigger paycheck.
Huh.
Because that's, you know, the only way you ever see a rack that someone doesn't want to show is when their career's on the downside.
Or on the way up.
Or struggling to get up. Mm-hmm. And she's been certainly on the front side of that. So
I'm
you'd think
freaking
she would,
out, man.
That's her husband.
Any casting person would say, hey, look, if you dump those things out there, we could put you in this role, pay a little bit more cash. But unfortunately, she has not compromised her insane values.
I can't believe that's her husband more than anything.
I'm not sure who we're talking about.
And apparently he's 6'3", because she's tall, but I always thought he was really short.
Who's in control of those tubes? Let me see.
His name is Jeffrey Arend.
That guy?
Yeah.
That those tubes would beat the crap out of that guy. I'm serious.
Sorry, I forgot he was in The Ringer. He played a mentally challenged guy in The Ringer.
I love The Ringer. Anybody else a Ringer fan here?
Yeah. Very underrated.
That movie's so funny. Dahmer, is his name Dahmer? His name's Dahmer?
Jeffy Dahmer.
Yeah, Jeffy Dahmer.
The Snozzberries taste like Snozzberries.
That guy.
Who's the hot chick in The Ringer?
It's
Heigl.
Jeffy's after. Heigl, that's right. Yeah, it was before I really knew who Heigl was.
Catherine Hodge.
Before I knew she was a bitch. In Knocked Up, Christina Hendricks, by the way, her celebrity net worth is $8 million, so those tubes aren't coming out for any financial reasons anytime soon. Unless she's trying to keep up some kind of Hollywood, you know, appearances.
Yeah, they won't. She wants
hopefully
to
she is.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's a complete snob and... appearing to live high in the hog is very important to her because that would be, I'd say, our best chance of getting that rack out there. That's the need for cash. Although it's not likely she's going to do any porn. But, I don't know, it just opens up more roles. And it could be really artistic, too. And we'll clear the set for you, Christina. We'll do anything to see those things. Can we see the trailer? They're acting like the trailer is particularly steamy for Bad Santa 2. Has anyone seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Was it steamy?
You know, the best thing about it is the fat kid from One is in this movie, too.
Oh, wow.
How old is he now?
Yeah, I was going to say.
He looks the exact same. He just looks about 6'2".
But what is his age?
He's probably 21 now.
So he was, what, 15 in the first one?
Huh. Oh, no. The first one was, 13? Like, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, maybe. 13 years ago. 13 years ago.
Wow.
Whoa. But that kid was, I'm really having trouble thinking how, kind of honing in on his age in that first one.
I'll find out.
Oh, here we go. Here's our trailer. Allegedly steamy.
You got Brandon Hart, so I've heard.
Why do you have two beards?
That's none of your fucking business.
I traveled all the way across the country to rob a goddamn charity.
I got an associate who's got this thing all lined up.
What associate?
Shit stick.
Mom.
You still hit like your fucking father.
Happy not working with that poison bitch.
Come on, boy.
Be just like old times.
You mean a living fucking nightmare? Why didn't you say so? I'm in.
You got one job. Just keep your deviant mouth shut.
Come on in, fellas.
There she is.
That pussy got lips like an orangutan.
Excuse me.
What's up?
What?
Catch me if you elf!
What is he doing here?
You got smaller.
There he is.
Fuck you.
We're a charity. When you walk out those doors, you're representing us.
There's some change. Think about somebody
besides
your fucking
low cut,
self.
Please, or...
Well, bless your heart.
Cheap little fucker.
You reek of whiskey. You know the rules and you're flouting them.
Flouting? I never suck jizz out of nobody's ass.
Believe that's belching.
I'm a good girl, but sometimes I need to be bad.
Tell me how dirty this is.
It's a dumpster.
There you go.
Alley, it's pretty fucking dirty, I guess.
Tell me it's fucking dirty!
Okay, it's fucking dirty.
I am going to have to ask you to watch your language when you're representing this suit.
And I'm going to have to ask you to suck my fucking dick.
It's go time!
One time, I ate too much turkey bacon. I didn't poop for 2 weeks.
Look at that kid!
For 4 weeks.
Is this your spot?
He's like a giant kid.
Well, if this ain't fetal alcohol syndrome, then what the fuck is it?
Are we going to set an F-word record in this movie?
Apparently,
possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, how old was the kid? Anybody?
Oh.
Oh, I lost track.
No one looked at
I was watching.
We're all watching.
I thought you were looking it up. I'm sorry.
I'll have it limited.
There was a nasty-looking... from behind, apparently a hot rear action scene with Billy Bob and Christina, nice. But she's fully clothed. She's even wearing a jacket. It's cold out. She's wearing a jacket. I mean, we're not even close to seeing her breasts.
He's 22 now.
Yeah.
Thurman Merman.
So he was 9 when that first one was made.
Mm-hmm.
Christina Hendricks looks really different, too. Mm. She had some work done on her face.
Did she look blonde?
Or maybe I never looked at her face. I mean, that's the problem.
She might try to be blonde, but we'll always know.
Yep. I think she's really pretty, though. I really do. And I respect her greatly. I mean, I want this to be, when she dumps them out there, I want it to be something classy. I don't want a dumpster scene like that.
There's no short of fakes online.
Oh. Well, that's somebody's perception or conception of what they should look like, and I'll look at a fake.
Hey, who were we wondering? You mentioned somebody, and we thought they were in the Fappening. And since Brandon, I've deemed Brandon to be our Fappening expert. Oh, yeah. Brandon, do you remember Pippa Middleton ever being in the Fappening?
Pippa. You know, Middleton? I recall so many pictures of her ass when she was coming out because apparently she had the world's greatest ass.
Yeah, when her sister got married.
But I don't recall that being...
I don't remember in the Fappening either.
That was funny how her ass stole the wedding.
It looks so good in that
It really
dress.
Did. No, it's it her ass looked
perfect.
Mighty fine.
It was perfect.
I hope people aren't getting the wrong idea about the program. Although it is the part two crowd, so...
I know, it gets a little crazy.
It does.
What would the wrong idea be?
I don't know, we're just a little...
We like women?
We're kind of TNA heavy here in the early going, but got a long way to go. And, of course, the influence of the part two crowd, which cannot be underestimated.
Well, do you want to know the sequel? I mean, Brandon's on pins and needles trying to tell you.
Okay, all right. I'm ready for the sequel.
Okay.
It's a movie that bombed, and people, I think people have labeled it being one of the biggest bombs in Hollywood history, which we loved it. It had a terrible opening weekend.
The budget was $10 million. It ended up making $9.3 million. It was another one of these movies based off of a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Oh.
Look at Drew's getting...
Wait.
You can actually see Drew getting hard.
It's MacGyver.
MacGruber.
Yes.
Materials, MacGruber.
You know, the skits were just fantastic.
The movie is great.
The movie's funny. The movie's very funny. But I just felt like the skit never failed. I mean,
no.
Whether it's Church Lady or anything, there's always the one that isn't, you know, just not quite so funny. I mean, I always loved Church Lady. Anytime Dana Carvey spoke in that character, I liked it. But there were ones that rose above the others. But with MacGruber, I felt that it always was spot on every time.
I caught an old SNL. It had a MacGruber on it. And the guest host was, who's the LaBeouf? LaBeoufu, what's
Shia,
his name?
Shia
LaBeoufu was on.
Uh-huh.
And he played like his gay kid. And then he brings his friend
MacGruber's
over.
MacGruber's gay kid?
Yeah. And MacGruber, you know, wasn't cool with it. And he goes to kiss the woman and he ends up puking on her. Do you remember that one at all? And then, of course, right after he pukes, it blows. I'll see if I can find
LaBeouf it. LaBeouf had some good set. I think he only hosted twice.
Good actors.
Really,
is there
really
MacGruber
good
with, episodes. With LaBeouf? LaBeoufu?
Yeah.
LaBeoufu.
MacGruber. Here
MacGruber.
It is. Oh, it's on Hulu, though. I don't know if I have Hulu. MacGruber's son, that's what it's titled. MacGruber 5. Hey, do you have the SNL app on your phone? Because it's one of the best apps if you're an SNL fan. Here you go. Can you pop me up?
Yeah.
You might have to watch a commercial or listen to a commercial. This is the commercial. Care to guess what it's for?
What is it?
Lunches, I guess? I don't even know. Oh, Target. All right, here you go.
MacGruber.
MacGruber. Stop the dildo on Meryl's backpack was a gadget for his buddy.
MacGruber.
He's totally hetero and gets all kinds of poontang.
MacGruber.
Every time my son will burn in hell.
MacGruber.
MacGruber's son. Angel Dust Production
MacGruber,
Lab.
The door's padlocked from the outside.
There's more, MacGruber. The C4 explosive is set to blow in 20 seconds.
Calm down. We are going to be just... What is he doing here?
You guys remember Scott, right?
Yeah, I do.
Dad, Scott is merely a platonic friend.
Stop tickling me. Do we really need Scott here?
Relax, okay? Vicky and I are still very much an item.
Really?
In fact, I'm having a really hard time concentrating right now because all I keep thinking about is her chest and her fanny and her womb.
Fanny.
All
her womb.
That sounds
womb.
Very convincing.
What do I have to do to prove it to you? You want me to kiss her?
Yeah, I do want to see you kiss her.
Fine. Scott, you be Vicky for a second.
No.
I said Vicky be Vicky.
Fine. Come here, you. It's going to be really romantic.
As soon as the lips touch, he vomits on her, and then the building blows up. That's awesome. Remember this scene from the movie, though?
That is fantastically funny.
To this day, I have no idea. We actually all went to college together. Believe it or not, we were very close friends. And after graduation, he got engaged to her. He asked me to be his best man. And right about that time, I started banging her and mowing her box. She was actually the first person I felt comfortable enough around to let eat out my butt. Anyway, shortly thereafter, she left him for me. She was actually carrying his child at the time. I asked her to terminate it, obviously, so we could start fresh. And she agreed.
So we could start fresh.
We're so in love. And he took that from me.
It's really fucked up.
Such a ridiculous movie.
You recall another good skit? Somebody we could search? I just want to see one more MacGruber.
With MacGruber? Oh, from the SNL show?
From the show.
Boy, a lot of them are really good. I'm trying to think.
Well, they're all good.
I'll just Google MacGruber.
Now, how did they get a sequel made on a movie that was budgeted for $10 million and it took in $9
million?
How do you do that?
It must have done really well.
The worldwide numbers or Europe?
It's also co-written... The first one by Yorma,
yeah,
from Lonely Island,
yep.
And he's going to be writing this one with Will Forte as well.
Well, there you go.
So those two obviously have had some successes lately, and maybe they want to give it another go.
Yeah, how did pop star Don't Stop Poppin'?
Don't stop ever stopping, or
what's poppin'?
You know, I still
what's poppin'? Never stop poppin'.
Yeah, never stop. Never stop.
You haven't seen it.
I still have not seen it. No.
Mark.
I don't watch as much stuff anymore. You know that.
That's Ooh. Ridiculous. Because you have a small human being in your house, you can no longer watch TV.
I don't watch as much TV. I still watch a lot.
That one didn't do good either. That one was budgeted for $20 million, and the box office is $9.5 million.
I'm telling you, it's funny. It's
got some materials, Gruber. Getting in and out of ultra sticky situation.
He has a black employee now. It's Charles Barkley.
MacGruber, this door is magnet locked. We're trapped.
That's not our only problem, MacGruber. From the looks of that nitrogen bomb, we've only got 20 seconds.
Don't worry, Vicky. Chill, Durrell. We'll have plenty of time to relax. Time to chill, Durrell. Once we get out of here. Once we scram, Durrell.
It's pronounced Daryl.
Oh, like a white Daryl.
10 seconds, MacGruber.
Okay, Vicky, hand me that Allen wrench.
You got it, MacGruber.
Okay, Durrell.
Daryl.
Funk me over that copper wire. Out of sight?
It's Daryl.
Okay, Vicky, hand me that stir stick.
On the way, MacGruber.
Durrell.
It's Daryl.
Jazz me over that fly shoelace, you dig?
MacGruber, I don't know if this is working out.
That reminds me of a good joke. What do you get When you cross a Mexican with a black...
MacGruber.
Excuse me, a black African-American. Mo better?
Yeah, mo better.
Okay, so you cross a Mexican with a black African-American and a Jew and a woman, and what do you get? I don't know, but I sure don't want that person to move in next door to me.
Leave it up. This might be part two, I think. Remember, there's always three parts.
Oh, yeah. Because the stupid
corporate bull. You have to take sensitivity training. He makes jokes in private now.
Survive. MacGruber, this door is weathered shut.
That's not all, MacGruber. By the looks of this chemical bomb, we've got exactly 20 seconds.
Okay, don't worry, gang. And when I say gang, I'm not insinuating that anyone here is a Crip or a Blood or in any other black gang. Or white gang. Whites could have gangs too, right, Darrell?
It's Daryl.
Show enough. But look, if there's one thing I've learned from the sensitivity training classes that I was forced to go to, it's that regardless of the color of our skin, we can all work together.
10 seconds, MacGruber.
Okay, Vicky, hand me that screw.
You got it, MacGruber.
Okay, Darrell, respectfully, hand me that pen.
Which pen?
That one, right there.
I can't tell which one you pointed at. Be more specific.
That one, the African-American pen.
What?
Sorry, the Negro pen? Negro-American pen?
Just call it a black pen.
Oh, so now it's fly and wrapped to call it a black pen, but earlier it was square.
Here, just take the pen.
He's got a gun! What? He charged me. He's obviously on PCP. I mean, look at his eyes. They're all bloodshot.
He missed it.
You are such a racist.
I am not a racist.
3 seconds, MacGruber.
Okay, okay, Vicky, hand me that Chinese pen, that Asian pen, the yellow pen.
I'm a racist.
Oh, I love how quick he maced him. All right, this should be the last one.
Who writes these?
The guys from Lonely Island.
With Will. Skits too?
Huh?
Skits too?
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
He's friends with Spike Lee now.
MacGruber, this door won't budge.
There's more, MacGruber. That ticking time bomb is set to blow in 20 seconds.
Okay, look. Before we start here, something I want to say. The road towards enlightenment takes many turns. Unfortunately, mine took me straight to you, Darrell.
Darrell.
And it is with great pleasure that I announce that in 2 Mondays, for the first time ever, we will be taking the day off to celebrate the life of a man that I consider to be my personal hero. Dr. Martin Rufus King.
That's Luther.
Right, Luther. You're Rufus.
I'm Daryl.
Whatever. Look.
15 seconds.
I know I have a ways to go, Daryl. But I'm headed in the right direction. So put her there. Hey, he's got a gun!
All he did was stick out his hand to shake it.
Barkley episode.
Yeah, Barkley's great.
And could those last couple skits be any more timely in terms of what's going on?
Yeah, even though they're 6 years old. That's great.
I mean, just hearing them right now, it's just quite amazing.
Did you know, see Last
No intention
Man.
To be disrespectful.
Did you see Last Man on Earth is back, too?
Oh, I didn't know.
Premiered on Sunday, yeah.
How was the first episode?
I've got it recorded. I don't watch as much TV anymore.
It was good. It was good.
Did you see it?
Yeah. There's a big cameo. I won't.
How did it leave off, though?
Didn't it leave off with the... they noticed that the three individuals were
coming
with guns
on the boat. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, balls.
So it starts with those tonight. Three individuals storming the compound.
Oh, that's who right. are they?
Well, one of them you already know because he was... he was the guy who was with
His brother, Sudeikis. Yeah.
The other two are new characters, but I don't want to spoil it
Don't spoil it.
One of them's a big star.
Don't spoil it.
What is the latest on the astronaut brother?
He's still with them, Jason Sudeikis, right? Or didn't know he left.
The last I knew, yeah, I missed a lot of episodes. He was in space the last I watched the show.
Oh, you missed all of last season then.
Apparently.
Because all of last season was his return.
Yeah.
How did he hook up with them?
Phenomenal. He found him. He saw the billboards.
Yeah.
He was a great addition.
So his capsule landed in the water somewhere?
Miami, Florida, and then he drove. Those were good episodes, too.
Yeah. You know what? I've seen the show. It's really funny. I've seen the show since he was there, mm-hmm. but I missed the whole business of him getting there, which sucks. I got to go back and watch that.
Oh, it's such a good show.
Was the astronaut part funny?
Well, I mean, that really wasn't much to it, except that, you know, everybody's amazed that he's an astronaut. And, of course, Forte's character resents the fact that he's an astronaut.
Of course he does.
No, it was a good premiere.
Cool. I got a lot of TV watching to catch up on. Mark II.
I know. Especially now because isn't the Amanda Knox documentary coming out soon? And when I was looking for Christina Hendricks on Mr. Skin, he made me aware of a new TV show on Netflix that apparently has a crazy threesome with Malin Ackerman in it. Oh yeah, that's on Netflix too. Yeah.
What show?
Of course you had to ask that. I don't know, but it's one where it looks like the cast revolves. It's on Netflix. I'll have to pull it up again.
The old revolving cast, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Malin Ackerman, she's in that Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah.
The Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah, that's a very underrated movie.
I was just going to say the same thing.
It's called Easy is the name of the Easy, Netflix show, yeah. She's got a three-way with Orlando Bloom and another chick.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other chick?
Kate Muchichu. I don't even know who she is.
Never heard of it.
They're getting it on.
And are these
Orlando
scenes?
Bloom's butt has to ruin it.
Are these scenes from that?
Jay?
Yes. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of his ass. You know, I've seen his wiener enough to last me the rest of my life.
Really?
Yeah, the stupid things when he was Katy Perry out paddling.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That was so weird. It's like, what are you doing nude? She's not nude. There's a lot of clothed people around. You're a Hollywood star. I mean, you love your dick, okay. I mean, wasn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
I just get the feeling the guy must have been way too high or something.
He probably was.
And just thought it was really cool and got off on it in the moment and then was probably just humiliated when he realized what he did. And Katy Perry clearly must have dumped him immediately after. I'm assuming.
You would hope, but I think they're still together.
That's just her pretending that it didn't bother her that much.
Mm-hmm. I got sucked into a story this morning that was like a pretty credible news source. And
yeah.
Kept Katy Perry naked.
Oh, that pisses me off.
And I was like, what's this all about? Click, click, click. And of course, it was a Funnier Die sketch.
I know, to vote, right? To have people vote. Yeah. But it's all pixelated. It's all covered up. So what's the point? You can't say she's nude and then not deliver on it. Because now you're just going to make people angry that they even went to it.
Because like Christina Hendricks, Katy Perry's one that a lot of people want to see those tubes.
That's funny. I didn't even click on the video. Is the video any good? Was it funny?
No, I immediately noticed it was fake.
Yeah.
Or not fake, but it was a sketch, and so I knew I wasn't going to see her tubes.
See, I feel like...
I didn't watch it.
Wouldn't you think 90%...
Well, JJ thought it was real.
Oh, you did?
No, I just mean that the story...
Yeah. I just assumed 90% of people saw that and went, oh, it's Funny or Die, I'm not even going to bother clicking on it.
I just saw Katy Perry strips naked, and I just immediately, before I even finished it, I said, this is fake, I'm not even paying attention to it.
That's what we were just talking about, absolutely.
Not me, I clicked it, because I got it.
But you didn't watch the sketch, right?
No.
Should we watch the sketch just to humor no one?
I don't know. I don't find stuff on that site that funny.
Oh, really?
Not most of the time. I don't know. Do you think they hit? I mean, do you think they hit for a high average?
I think a lot of times there's good stuff on there. Yeah.
Well, give it a try. Let's see if they.
I don't think this is gonna be funny.
Well, then why do you want to see it? Just to see how
just
close
see
we
how
are
stupid,
to actually seeing
just
her.
To see how stupid it really is.
Okay. I'll fall for it. Go right ahead, please.
All right, let me find it here.
Meanwhile, once again, and this has to be the last time this can possibly happen, the Tigers lost their third game in a row yesterday. Their backs thoroughly against the wall again, possibly hopelessly against the wall again. For about the, I don't know, sixth, seventh time this season. And my feeling today when I got up and was reading about them was they have to win pretty much every game left this year, which is ludicrous. They have six games, three against Cleveland, a team they're 2-14 against. They could just lose tonight and pretty much kiss it all goodbye. However, JV's going, and what do you know? It's the sixth inning. They're ahead 6-0. Mm-hmm. So the Tigers once again are going to force us to go, oh, maybe they're not out of it after all.
I've never been back on the train.
Oh, come on, Mark. They were in the wild card position like 3 days ago.
Care. You knew they'd blow it.
Not necessarily. You don't know that. Well, I don't know that.
I felt like they were going to blow it.
They're still in the race, though. I mean, to the bitter, bitter end, they have been in the race virtually every minute of August and September. And it's pretty cool season. I mean, you can't knock it for excitement.
I would not describe this season as cool. You would?
Absolutely.
It's been that enjoyable.
How many seasons have they been this close to the playoffs, whether they made it or not?
I don't know. I haven't found it to be terribly enjoyable. But then again, I haven't.
Are you watching all the games?
Watching a lot of them, yeah.
You don't think their games have been good?
I think they've been incredibly frustrating.
Well, anytime you're fighting for the last spot, I suppose it's frustrating because you feel like you have to win every game, and you're in a race with about 5 or 6 teams. But I just think on the balance, they're in the race. They're always in the race. Every game you watch, there's a modicum of pressure, of course, in August, even in the first couple weeks of September. And now it's high pressure, high stakes baseball. And anytime the stakes are this high, I don't know how many seasons. Well, 1987, it went down to the last 7 games. The Tigers won all 7 to make the postseason.
The Doyle Alexander trade.
1967, they lost in the last day of the season. I think there's another season in the 60s where they were real close. But you just don't get a season like that very often where it's that close, where it really, those last 4 games really matter. Actually, 2009 or 2010. Was it, 9? The year we had this game 163 against Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. The Porcello game?
Yeah. I think it was 09. But you all know what I'm talking about. And they lost in extra innings in Minnesota, and what I thought was one of the best baseball games I've ever seen. Did you guys watch it? Everybody watch it?
163, yeah.
Yeah.
It's on TBS.
I was at school that night. I had to follow it via cell phone.
You did not watch it? Oh, my. I thought it was an incredibly exciting game. With everything, the whole season on the line in one game, which is not really...
And Inge got hit, but didn't get hit.
Yeah, Inge got hit with the bases loaded. The ball hit his jersey. There was no instant replay back then.
Didn't Rayburn mess up in the field, but then also come back in the... Didn't he drive a run, a big important run in, or am I totally not remembering it?
No, I think you're remembering it pretty well. He dropped a fly ball.
Yeah.
I believe it was like a can of corn, like right there, and he dropped it. But I think he threw a runner out at the plate, maybe?
Yeah.
The same inning or the next inning?
It's coming slowly back to me, yeah.
And he might have had a big hit in that game, too. We can bring up the box score and find out. And I recall Maglio had a homer in that game. Miggy had a homer in that game. That was when Miggy was under all the pressure because he had the incident with the Birmingham police.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That season. That was also the year the Tigers were up 7 games on September 11th, I believe it was. And they managed to somehow let the Twins tie them the last weekend of the season. And we had, if Justin Verlander hadn't shut out, I think it was the White Sox, on the second to the last day of the season, we would not have made a tie and played game 163. Because we lost the last game. 2 of the last 3 games, we started pitchers who were extremely half-ass. And I don't even remember why. And we've talked about this before and looked up the guy's name. And I still, he's so marginal, I can't even remember his name. And we just talked about it maybe 6 months ago. I think it starts with an N.
I'm sorry.
The starter for the last game of the season, which if the Tigers had won, they would have won the division outright.
Started with an N?
I'm not sure if it was an... That's what I'm saying. I can't even remember who it was. It was so lame that we started someone. His career record was like 1-2.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, we had no one else available. I don't even know
why. Started the last game?
I believe it was the last game.
God, I don't remember.
We just dug through this a while ago.
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember doing that and, of course, did not commit it to memory.
I tried, but he's so obscure. He's impossible to commit to memory.
Oh, was it Alfredo Figueroa?
Sounds right. That's not an N, but in fact, there isn't even an N in his name. That's how hard he is to remember. You can't even remember his first initial.
Yeah, here it is. pitched 1 1/3, gave up 3 hits, 2 runs, walked
nice
2,
going.
Home run. Then Fouti Nee came in. Do you remember Fouti Nee?
Yeah, barely.
I don't remember him at all. Then Galarraga came in, Ryan Perry, Brandon Lyon, and Fernando Rodney.
Nice going, guys. What was the final score?
5-3. Oh, no, that was the – they won the next night. That was game 161. They lost 5-1, and they won the next night.
Already?
With JV on the mound.
Okay, so he didn't throw a shutout. He won 5-3.
And you're right, Rayburn, I think he did make the throw home throughout Casilla at home. Does that sound right?
Yeah, he had an outfield assist.
Yeah.
I just remember he made a big throw.
And that was in the bottom of the 10th.
Oh, okay.
We were in the top of the 10th. Yeah. Inge drove in Don Kelly. God, that must have been your favorite play ever. Brandon Inge driving in.
What'd Don Kelly go for the game?
Probably
entered late as a pinch runner for Mags.
He did. He was 1-for-1 with a run.
Whoa. Donnie Kelly in game 163.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as big as a sacrifice fly that beat the Oakland A's in the playoffs. In the first round of the playoffs, or the home run he hit against the Yankees in the ALCS in 2012 or 11.
He's a better postseason batter than he was regular season batter.
Well, of course, he's clutch.
His OPS in the postseason, 698. Regular season, 628.
All right.
How ridiculous.
He had a 9 home run season in there somewhere. He hit nine bombs 1 year.
Yay.
Doesn't sound real exciting.
No.
It's also my career high. I share a career high with Don Kelly.
All right.
Yeah.
Peas in a pod.
I had less at bats than he did. Thank you.
Oh, all
thank
right.
Very much. Yeah.
Did you hit better in 244?
I did not. That was the year I hit 229.
Ooh.
The year I can't forget.
Oh, your junior
ooh,
year.
Junior year.
Junior year of college, yep.
Did you hit any oppos?
Yes, I did. I was an oppo hitter. I loved the outside belt high and even a little higher fastball. Love that pitch over the shortstop's head. I got a lot of hits that way.
Ooh.
So I would say probably 3 oppos.
So what's the deal with
I had a home run rained out too.
What's the deal with Jose Fernandez now? Like what is the new information that's come forth on the boat crash? What have you read?
Okay, first of all, there's the two guys that were on the boat. One of them had a friend begging him not to go on the boat.
Yeah,
they were from the bar. They were at a bar, one of those park the boat
yeah.
at the slide, a slip, go into the bar and leave whenever.
Mm-hmm.
At the bar, his friend begged him not to get on the boat. It's not safe. It's late. It's dark. It's not safe. And the guy's answer was, it's not my time.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to leave Jose this way. Jose was angry.
Yeah, they're the ones that had the text back and forth, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the buddy said, I know, when he said, it's not my time yet. I know, but try to keep Jose cool. Tell him what I said. Then the friend said, I know. And he said, turn on your iPhone app. Find your iPhone app so we can track him. And then he said, it's on. Dale, keep me in the loop. If you guys need me to meet up with you guys to cool down for support, let me know. Because
what are they talking about?
Well, apparently Jose got in another fight with the ex-girlfriend or the girlfriend? Do you remember? Yeah, with his girlfriend. There it is.
Yeah, she was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jose Fernandez was upset following an argument with his girlfriend. That's when his two buddies decided to go.
This guy's like the greatest guy ever, and he's having a fight with his pregnant girlfriend. Oh. I'm trying to dump on him, but
no, I think
doesn't sound
I
great.
Think fighting with a girlfriend or boyfriend is pretty common in a relationship, right?
Especially, sure.
Especially when you're out at the bar late at night when she's at home.
She's probably home.
She's probably going, I'm pregnant, sitting at home, and you're out there getting all bombed with your friends in the boat, getting wild, and you're with the J crew and all those chicks.
It's not illegal.
I look like shit because I got this kid growing inside me. I can't party.
Fernandez's friends joined him only after Marlins teammates turned down his offer to go on a late-night trip on the water. Marcelo Ozuna said, don't go out. Everybody knew he was crazy about that boat, loved being out on the water. I told him I couldn't go out that night because I had kids. I got kids, man. And my wife waiting for me at home. He told me, hey, if you don't hear from me by 10 a.m. on Sunday to call me and wake me up so we can get to the ballpark on time for the game. I told him, yep, no problem. I'll call you. I woke up Sunday, and that's when I found out. I cried and cried. I mean, that whole scene, The Marlins did it up nice in memorial to him. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, no, that was really, it was very clear that he was a guy that his teammates loved him.
Yep.
His friends loved him. He was just a guy that really brought a lot of happiness to people. You know, I thought seeing Don Mattingly, your favorite player.
I love him, yeah. It was rough.
I loved him as a player, too. Loved him. I loved watching that guy
hit.
Just
a good dude, too.
And then this morning, a bag that contained 4 signed baseballs as well as Jose Fernandez's checkbook washed ashore.
Wow.
And that was, my God.
And that was turned into
Did life, Zach life Hempel guards. Show up on the scene to take one of the balls?
Hempel.
should we call him?
Just tell him we heard
him it. Ask him if when he answers the phone, are you on the shore there waiting for stuff to come in?
Tell him we heard a report. We just want to make sure it's not true.
Yeah, I love the idea.
Jay, do you have his number? Zach Hempel, the baseball collector.
He's the incredible foul ball collector.
Last time we talked to him, he showed up at the
charity game.
No, it was a regular season game, but it was from the I forget which fort it was. Do you remember which fort it was? But remember
Fort Bragg was
Fort Bragg. I think you're right, Drew. Yeah, they were having a baseball game at Fort Bragg, a first regular season game, at a military institution. And Zach was, it was only supposed to be military people there, and Zach showed up and got a ball, and people were pissed.
Well, they're mad.
Pissed. He was bragging about getting a ticket.
Yeah, no, that was nasty. And so then he tried to fix it by, well, among other things, claiming that he caught 11 foul balls, and he gave 10 of them away.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
But not 11.
And I think he was making a donation or something. Anything to make it right.
Do you know the name of Jose Fernandez's boat was?
Yes. It was the Backwards K or something?
Yep.
Or the,
yep.
Was it Backwards K?
Caught Looking.
Caught Looking. Oh, K. God. Close.
It's kind of a cool name for a boat. I don't know why, but I think naming boats is pretty cool.
It can be. It can be a real bummer, too.
Like Monkey Business?
Oh, boy. Monkey Business. Wait, was that Gary Hart?
Yeah. I feel like there's been a lot of boats named Wake and Bake, too, as in the wake of the water.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty common. It's becoming common.
You bake in the wake?
Are we calling Zach up?
Gotta find his number.
Oh, you're still looking for it? I'm sorry. Authorities have not stipulated which of the 3 victims were driving the boat, nor is it clear that they've made any determination. One of the guys did not have a boating license. He did have a tattoo, however, that said, life is short, heaven is forever.
Life is short, heaven is forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Whew. Of course, everybody knows the D. Gordon story by now.
Amazing.
That was really amazing.
Especially because he's just not a home run hitter. I mean, he didn't have a home run all year.
Do you think they didn't serve him up a meatball, did they?
It looked pretty meaty. But when a guy has not hit a home run all year, you can serve him up a meaty ball and
he's still got to hit it.
Still not a power hitter.
I don't think it was done on purpose, though, because the Mets are in the middle of a pennant race.
No, I'd say it's pretty dubious in that regard. The ball was down the middle of the plate, though. I mean, it was a meatball.
Speaking of boating and conspiracy theories, did you see the story of the guy that went out boating with his mom, and they went missing, and they found him on a raft 9 days later? Have you seen that story?
Went out boating with his mom and was found on a raft 9 days later, and where's mom?
It's been on the nightly news. She's missing and presumed dead.
Okay.
You haven't seen this story?
I don't think I've seen this, Mark.
Jay, have you seen the story?
Yeah.
Any flags raised with you?
Well, nice saving mom.
I got to wonder if he's going to be questioned about it because they found him in a raft with food and water. And he claims when their fishing vessel started taking on water that he couldn't find his mom. It's not that big of a boat.
He couldn't find his mom.
Yeah, he said he was looking.
How many places are there to look on a boat? How
exactly.
big is the fucking
it's
boat?
It's not that big of a boat. So this boat's taken.
You're talking like 24 feet?
It might have been a little bigger than that. It's just, it's like your typical New England. I think it left Martha's Vineyard or Rhode Island somewhere up there. So it's your typical New England fishing vessel. Not that big.
No. And they're not really elaborate either. It's not like they got 16 nooks and crannies and bedrooms and bathrooms to hide in.
So the boat's taking on water and yet he has time to get the raft and fill it with food and water for himself, but not to find mom. Doesn't that sound a little odd?
Like, yeah. Yeah, it sounds really odd.
But nobody has raised that question.
Oh, like, what mom just decided to commit suicide by jumping off the boat and drowning for kicks?
I don't know. I thought that would be an obvious question. Like, wait, this raft you're in, you've survived 9 days, you still have food and water.
Let me tell you something.
But that's a terrible plan if you were trying to off someone or get rid of them, that you're just going to float in the water now?
If this mom is anywhere near normal, moms have that button in their brain that goes off when anything is remotely wrong with their kids, that worry button. And if a boat was taking on water, chances are mom wants to be there for her kid to help him through this disaster. Mom is not going to be the selfish one that, you know, that blows up the raft and just takes off without the kid. Most moms.
No.
I mean, moms, the ultimate sacrifice would always be made for their kids. In most moms' cases.
What are you trying to say, though? That
she didn't leave him. She's not going to jump off the boat because, oh, this sucks. Fuck you. I'm just going to commit suicide.
But I think
that's very, very unlikely.
Well, I mean, his story, at least the story I saw, basically, you know, the presumption is that he couldn't find her on the boat and she went down with the boat while he went off on the life raft.
He couldn't find her on the boat.
Yeah.
Can we see a picture of the boat, please?
Sure, I can find one. His name is Nathan Carman.
Any more information on the boat? I couldn't find her. Those fishing boats are not, you know, they're very perfunctory. They're built to be functional, and they're not, like I said, there aren't all kinds of places to get lost on a fishing boat.
Yeah. Let me see.
I mean, I hope there's just some little tiny part of the story that I just don't know. This just sounds so weird. I mean, you already sound like you're a little suspicious.
Well, but nobody has raised that question. Do you have?
Is that the boat, Jay?
I'll just show you the story.
Because you couldn't get lost on that boat. You could not. No. It's not possible.
That's why I thought his story sounded really fishy.
I like to use the word fishy in the aquatic story.
I also realized I said vessel like 3 times. I'm mad at myself. I'm an idiot.
Oh!
We got Zach's number, too.
We do, okay. I want to find
man
this
man found
boat.
It for 8 days at sea. Man found her 8 days adrift at sea, but his mother is still missing. I think mom's gone.
Well, the second I heard that he had food and water on the raft, it's like, okay, well, where's mom? Why wasn't mom on the raft with you? And if that is the case, that is a terrible plan.
I wonder what since there's no suspicion about him, I have to believe there's very little questioning about the relationship with mom and if there were any issues there.
Well, I think they would ask him. Here's the story. He's autistic, apparently. He's 22.
Oh.
A Vermont man spent a week at sea in a life raft before being rescued by a passing freighter. Arrived in Boston, was to be reunited with his family, and questioned by Coast Guard. So I don't know if that's normal to question him. He appeared healthy and alert, did not speak as he stepped off the boat, was quickly taken to a waiting car. He will undergo a survivor.
Wait, and he's not yelling, where's my mom? Can I see my mom?
Now, he is autistic, so.
But you still would think that he would be interested in what happened to mom.
The Coast Guard will conduct a survivor debriefing with Carman, standard procedure for people who are rescued at sea.
His name is Carman?
Yeah, Eric Carman.
Oh, Eric Carman. Is it the singer? The Raspberry Singer?
No, the guy from South Park. No, it's Nathan Carman.
Wait, Eric Carman. Cartman. You're talking about, wait, Carman? There's not a Carman on South Park, is there?
No, there's an Eric Cartman.
Cartman, yeah. Eric Carman is a singer for the Raspberries, and also a solo singer, too.
Who are the Raspberries?
He wrote... Hungry Eyes.
Really? That's a stupid song?
She also wrote, Please Go All the Way. The Raspberry Song. That's a rocker.
I don't know that song at all.
Jay? Crank, Go All the Way. You know it rocks. See the funky set they're playing on. From the Mike Douglas Show, rocking out. He has the biggest hair in rock and roll history. And it gets much bigger than that. He looks so womanly there. He's possibly the most womanly looking lead singer in rock and roll history. See, even the way he's got the little twirls, the, yeah, what do you call those? It looks like he used curlers.
A perm? He's got a perm?
Looks
not
like
a perm.
Looks like Linda Belcher from Bob's Burgers.
Go! Oh, the guy's using a double neck. He's got a 12 string.
I've never heard this song.
You've never heard this song?
No.
Are you kidding me? It's one of the power pop classics.
All right, let me show you the story I saw. This is from yesterday's ABC News.
I want to hear another. It does. It's the flip. It's the flip down. It's long and goes past his shoulders, and there's a flip coming, like towards his face. Oh, no. Still rocks. I have to hear another Raspberry song when we figure this all out.
It's Raspberry there. Turn a few cards. Come on. I need you. I love you. I need you. Turn a few cards. All the way, bitch.
Okay. I'm fixed up. I can't believe you know that song, Mark.
I've never heard that before.
You have a hole in your musical library.
Thankfully.
Oh, come on.
What?
They rock. To confess a musical love of mine, let me finish this subject.
Well, go ahead.
Power pop. It's kind of a new category. I've noticed a lot of the old the rock magazines like Shindig and Mojo and Uncut and Q have actually started acknowledging a power pop.
What are they describing as power pop?
Raspberries, Badfinger. Some people say REM is power pop.
I like Badfinger. I hate that name for a band. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
It's gross.
Oh, Big Star is considered power pop.
Doesn't Badfinger just sound disgusting? You're doing bad things with that finger.
Well,
smelling it afterwards.
If you're the trainer for the Olympic gymnast.
Yeah,
you're thinking
exactly.
About him.
Exactly.
Do you see 15 more girls have come forward?
This is the guy at Michigan State or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does those pelvic exams quite regularly.
God.
There's some really...
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Some really precious quotes in the story today about that, by the way.
What do you mean?
I have to read them. When,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and wrap up with the autistic kid.
I just want to show you, this is the stories I saw, it, and I thought it raised flags. I don't know why the reporter never mentioned it.
Hey, what was that?
Family mystery at sea. The mother and son missing, and now the son has been found after 8 days on open water. They had given up. More than 100 miles from land, the discovery. The mother still missing, and authorities asking what happened. Here's Lindsay Janis.
Now what happened?
Tonight, Nathan Carman is on his way back to land after more than a week lost at sea and days after the Coast Guard called off its search. A cargo ship spotting the 22-year-old Sunday 115 miles south of Martha's Vineyard.
He was found in a life raft with food and water. Reported to be in
good condition. Hey, pause it for a second.
But Nathan's...
Food and water in good health.
Okay, and how far off course is he?
100 miles away. I mean, he's floating in a life raft.
Yeah, so he has no choice. He doesn't know where he's going.
Now, I want to say there's something funky going on here, but that what a terrible plan.
Yeah.
Coast Guard called off its search. A cargo ship spotting the 22-year-old Sunday 115 miles south of Martha's Vineyard.
He was found in a life raft with food and water. He was reported to be in good condition.
But Nathan's mother, Linda Carman, is still missing. The pair left a road...
Hey, where's Mom?
There's the boat. You're not going to be able to find Mom on a boat.
You get lost on that boat? You can't get lost on that boat.
You're going to load a raft with food and water, and you can't
find
Mom.
Where's Mom?
Mom!
I
loaded the raft like 50 minutes ago. The boat's about to sink. Where are you?
His mom already took off. I guess I'll get going.
Island Marina in their 32-foot fishing boat 9 days ago. Linda's friend says Linda texted her their plans, writing, "Call me if you don't hear from me." Nathan Carman reportedly telling rescuers,
"When the boat started taking on water, he went looking for his mom to get into the life raft, and he could not find her."
Tonight, Coast Guard officials say there is little hope Linda Carman is alive, and they want to know more about what happened.
And David, Nathan Carman is still on that freighter. He's expected to arrive in Boston tomorrow night. David?
Lindsay, thank you. When we come back,
doesn't that sound like total foul play?
Is anyone paying attention?
I don't know. But like that other story I was reading,
Finder
said that they, I guess it's normal for them to debrief people lost at sea. But this says the same thing. He looked for his mother, did not see her, had food and water, and he jumped in the life raft, and that was it.
I mean, couldn't find her. I wouldn't even say that. It's so stupid.
Family members said that Nathan Carman has Asperger's syndrome, a form of autism.
So she's probably the one of maybe two or three or four or five people at the most that this kid communicates with in a very unique way. Probably the one person he communicates with better than anyone if he, you know, has this kind of activity with her and only with her.
Well, wouldn't you think he'd be overly concerned if this boat is taking on water?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. If he has Asperger's?
You stick together in any situation. I mean, if they, it's said that they do this boating thing. It's regularly. Not like this is the first time they did it. It's a 32-foot fishing boat.
I'll say it. He killed her. I think he killed her somehow.
Well, it's something stinks. His story sucks.
Yeah, it's awful.
And
he's going to be sentenced to being hugged.
And this is my...
And having, I'm glad you got that joke.
Multiple,
I wasn't sure.
And having multiple vaccinations.
Right?
I sentence you to
being touched and
years in prison
by strangers.
20 hugs a day and 20 vaccinations every Saturday.
It's cruel and unusual punishment for that kid.
Worse than lashes.
And just to show my respect for Asperger's and for autism, these people don't have, it's not like they're in any way, in terms of like an IQ, like they have a lower IQ or something.
No, they're social. They it's
think,
a social.
Their thinking is, I mean, they have the smarts.
He can murder somebody.
They have a hard time making connections with people. They sort of live in their own world.
There's an idea for a drama series, a serial killer with Asperger's.
Hey, people with Asperger's can do anything, even serial murder.
Yeah, you would never suspect him.
I think he's got some splaining to do.
Yeah, nice that he's floating in the raft for a week
and just living it up. Got all you can eat.
He actually gained weight while lost at sea. Poor mom.
He's got mom's supplies and his.
Yeah.
That's why he offed her.
You're going to find that boat.
He's hungry as hell. He wanted to go on a binge.
Mom! I don't want to fish anymore.
That story, there's not a better update?
It?
There's not a new update? Anything fresh?
I just read that one story. Let me see. I just read that one earlier. Nathan Carman. Oops. Dupes.
Hey, while he's looking it up, Jay.
There is an update 24 minutes ago. You ready?
Hold on, Jay. How about raspberries? Wait, hold on. Raspberries. Let's pretend. You have to turn it on, but just get ready.
Power
just
pop.
Ready for some power pop.
Pop on the podcast.
Power pop. What's popping?
Power pop.
Power popping. Power pop on the podcast.
What do you, are you? Did you see the update, too?
I just saw the update.
There's an update, Drew.
Oh, I'm so fired up. I want to hear it.
I'm going to, since I need a job, I'm going to become a detective. You ready?
Yeah.
Search warrant. Wait. Court record. Man rescued at sea was suspect in grandfather slaying.
What?
As authorities continue to gather information in the case of rescued boater Nathan Carman, speaking with him in Boston... And searching his home in Vermont, court records show police suspected him of the unsolved 2013 fatal shooting of his grandfather in Windsor. Windsor police submitted an arrest warrant in July 2014 for Carman on a murder charge, but the warrant was returned by the prosecutor unsigned the next day. According to the warrant, the police used to search Cartman's apartment in Middletown where he lived. They just wanted more information. It's a cold case right now. Cartman's lawyer, he's already got a lawyer, had no...
Oh, nice. This guy's got a big legal team on retainer.
No comment.
Anytime somebody in the family gets offed.
He said his client cooperated with the Coast Guard when he was brought to Boston Harbor Tuesday morning after being rescued in the lifeboat by a passing freighter. Just said his mom never made it to a life raft.
Ooh, never made it to? What was there? Was there a deadline? Mom!
Mom, we're leaving in 5 minutes!
You don't make it to the boat in 5 minutes, you're out of here! We can't find you!
Oh, he talked to reporters. Made a short statement. I would like to thank the public for their prayers and concern for both my mom and myself.
Oh, well, at least somebody's concerned about her.
I'd like to thank the public. I'd like to thank the crew of the ship that rescued me, both for rescuing me and for treating me very well and not hugging me. I feel healthy. Emotionally, I've been through a huge amount. My request is that they just leave you. I'd be left alone so I can mourn naturally later.
What a dick.
His father, Clark Cartman, who had driven him home, spoke briefly.
Did he also thank them for not looking too hard for his mom?
Yeah. I'd rather not say anything more at this point. Between the two of us, it's been a rough day.
That's the dad?
Yeah. Ah, something is fishy. That just came across 24 minutes ago.
It was the grandfather that was offed, right?
Yeah, it was shot dead. Unsolved.
Unsolved.
Is
there any more details on Grandpa's death?
I don't see anything else.
Is Grandpa a hugger? Can we find
out? It was self-defense. Grandpa tried, and Grandpa went in for a hug. The search warrant indicates police removed from the house a modem, GPS device, SIM card, and a letter written by Cartman.
A letter?
Yeah, no indication of the letter was written to
police. This is in 2014?
This is, police did not find a computer, though.
Oh, okay. Really?
I think
an autistic kid wouldn't have a computer. He wouldn't want to get into his own little world in the computer or anything
like
that, would
he?
Wouldn't want to just sink in there for, 16 hours or so playing a game.
I have a feeling it's at the bottom of the ocean somewhere near Martha's Vineyard.
Jesus.
Probably next to the boat.
Huh. Well, since he didn't have one, I guess he didn't get a new one after the investigation was completed.
It's crazy, though, that they had a modem.
Yeah.
What?
But he's just not enough into computers to complete the system.
The details of the slaying of his grandfather at his home in Windsor are contained in the warrant application to search his apartment in 2014. The search warrant says Nathan was the last known person to see him alive, and the two were having dinner. The next morning, one of his daughters found 87-year-old man dead in his home, shot 3 times in the head and torso.
Does this guy have some unique ability to make everyone around him stupid?
A search warrant states that Cartman, who was then 20, became a suspect after police interviewed his mom, Linda Cartman, told him that her son was supposed to meet her in Glastonbury at 3 a.m. that morning to drive to Rhode Island, but didn't show up.
Wait, he was supposed to meet Grandpa?
After Grandpa died, he was supposed to meet his mom at 3 a.m., and he never showed up. Police searched
his... Okay, because he was supposed to be with Grandpa to meet Mom?
No, after. It sounded like it was after. He was supposed to meet after. Search warrant states that Cartman, who was then 20, became a suspect after police interviewed his mother, who told him that her son was supposed to meet her in Glastonbury at 3 a.m. that morning to drive to Rhode Island, but did not show up.
Okay, so the feeling being that he's, like, busy chopping Grandpa up and hiding his body
or
something?
Shooting him or hiding him, or, yeah. They
in his clothes.
On July 18, 2014, they found a Remington shotgun, rifle, scope, and several boxes of ammunition. The rifle did not match the caliber of the gun used, though, to kill Grandpa.
Did they say to shoot Grandpa there? Or did they say his name?
He said Grandpa. Well, they say his name, but I'm just sticking with the Grandpa. An audio recording released by the Coast Guard Tuesday offers the most detailed description so far of the events leading to the sinking of Cartman's 31-foot aluminum boat, the Chicken Pox. A stupid name for a boat.
The Chicken Pox?
Yeah. In the recording, Carmen's brief conversation with the Coast Guard via radio.
Did this guy have chicken pox and he delighted himself by counting the chicken pox over and over?
Yeah.
He became like David Count.
Yes. Count David Wimp.
Count David Wimp. Do we have Count David Wimp's number?
I don't.
Do we ever try to call him again?
Let me see if it's on my phone. Oh, we've tried.
I thought we tried too.
Dare I say we connected?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I just think it'd be so wonderful to talk to Count David Wimp again.
Shoot.
Count David Wimp, who was, he was counting to a million by ones on his calculator.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Now, was he autistic or?
I think he's just a nerd.
Something beyond. What's wrong with him?
Do you want to hear more of this guy's story?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out what Count David Wimp's.
What
deal
was he up to when you guys talked to him?
He had gone past a million and decided to keep going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was on like 2 million, I think.
Yeah, boy.
Remember he talked really loud?
Yeah. Very staccato.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a story on him in 1992.
Wait, Count David Wimp hasn't made news since 1992?
No, 2012. Top 10 amazing yet boring achievements and records. He made that list. Oh, hey, Brandon.
Say where he lives?
Yeah, see if he's listed here. Hang on. Let me,
oh, my God. It would make my life to talk to Count David Wimp again. And he's a count, by the way. It's family, royal blood in the family.
I kind of want
to. Has not because he counted. Counts. No, he's a count.
Oh, look at him. He looks like a total nerdlinger. I like this dude. He seems pretty cool. Do you see this? This is the city. Brandon?
Yeah. You got it.
You want to look him up?
Yeah.
I don't know if his name's just it is just David Wimp. Oh, how's your name Wimp?
I think Count David Wimp is his name.
By the time he got national coverage, he had counted over 3.7 million.
He counted 3.7
He wrote down the numbers one at a time on pieces of paper. He then switched to counting on an electric calculator printouts. In 1982. So
he printed out every transaction?
Yeah, he counted to a million, got bored with counting up, went back the other way, and then started counting up again.
But in general, he wasn't bored. He just got bored with that style of counting.
Yeah, counting upwards. So he switched to subtraction.
Wait. He switched to subtraction?
Yeah, he counted over a million, got bored with counting up, went back the other way, then started counting up again.
Oh, my God. He really fucked himself getting the subtraction thing. I mean, it really hurt his numbers.
Oh, I'm sure he liked it. He's got records of it all. There's a picture of him just with tons of tape from a counting calculator.
I wonder what kind of record-keeping system he has.
I wonder if he still has the spiral notebooks. Any luck finding them?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Count David Wimp. Another lover.
Is that one of those calculators where you hit the button? When I went to take my ACTs.
Yeah. I love this story. Joe, listen to this. I forgot about this. Go ahead, Brandon.
So I showed up to take my ACTs back in 2002, and I showed up, and I don't have my calculator. And I'm like, and my mom drove me. I was like, Mom! I was like, I need a calculator, Ma. And she
Mom, what did you think of that this morning?
And at the time, my mom had her own business where she was making some stuff. And,
I'm just running your stupid business. Bring me a calculator.
So she gives me the only calculator that she has, and it's one of those calculators with a spool on it. So I take the spool off, and I was like, "Well, I don't need that." And I go in there, and you know,
what
I start
stupid spool for Mom.
She needed them for receipts. I didn't need them for the ACT.
I don't need them, though.
So I get down there and
Don't you need like a graphing calculator or no? Like a T83?
I should have had a very nice calculator. And I did. I just did not bring it with me. And with the ACT, they're not going to wait for me or let me
Mom, why don't you pick up mine and say, give me the stupid one with a spool for your stupid business?
Then you chuck the spool at her.
So I get into the math portion of the ACT. And the very first problem that I type in there, you know, there's about 60 other kids in the room. I hit enter, and all of a sudden, everybody turns and looks at me. I just put the calculator down and decided to do it all by hand.
Oh, I would have kept doing it and just been like, what? What?
Surely somebody must have said, asshole.
You should be like, what do you want me to do, man? Just because I can't buy your fancy Texas Instruments.
You should have kept using it. Think how many people, everybody, like at least two people in the class would be talking about that at all times. If you've done it for the whole test.
Not to mention the points you lost.
I lost some points for sure because I bombed that math portion.
What did you, on the ACT, it's only the ACT. It's only your entire future. So what'd you get, like 19 on the ACT?
I got like a 24.
Ooh.
Oh, man, you could have like a 28.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Brandon, what was your math score?
I don't know. Three? I can't remember the exact.
Brandon's actually a genius.
He got a 36 in English and a 3 in the math.
Horrible math score. Completely pimped his ACT.
On better note, I might have a couple numbers here for Wimp.
Yes!
I just don't know which ones you... Or we might have to just test these.
I know we're all over the map, but can I finish the Eric Carmen, the murdering autistic kid?
You mean we're all over the map? Well, a very linear show.
I think Jay still has raspberries queued up for God knows why.
Because it we're
power pop. Zach Hample's number queued up.
Oh boy, we do have a lot of things on hold here.
So let me just wrap this. So Carmen, this is his conversation with the Coast Guard, with when they had engine trouble, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So in the recording, he told authorities that the engine noises first signaled the problem that eventually sank the vessel, leaving him adrift in a life raft with his mom missing. Quote, there's a funny noise in the engine compartment. I looked and saw a lot of water.
Yeah, the funny noise when he threw mom in there with the thing whirring away.
Mom! You broke the engine!
Or it might have been the wood chipper he had in the other part of the boat.
I looked and saw a lot of water. I brought the safety stuff forward. The boat just dropped out from under my feet. Duh. He said in the ship-to-shore conversation soon after he was discovered by the freighter. When I saw the life raft, I did not see my mom. He then asked, have you guys found her?
Well, at least he thought to do that.
A Coast Guard official said, no.
Of course, that's after he tells the whole story. Yes, if you didn't ask that up front.
You saw my mom or what?
You could have spared them that whole stupid story.
You didn't? Cool. I got to a life raft after I got my bearings. And I was whistling and calling and looking around. But I didn't see her. That's what he said.
Wow. Well, you know, with that...
No distress call was made from the vessel.
He didn't say you didn't? Cool.
Yeah, he did. He totally said that. I mean, I'm really sad about it. Don't hug me.
There was no distress call?
No distress call from the boat.
I thought you said there was communication from him to the...
After he was saved by the freighter.
No distress call.
A woman whose boat was docked next to Carmen's told police that he intended to go fishing at the canyons about 100 miles offshore. Oh, that's interesting because he was only 115 away. So he's only probably 15 miles off of where he was supposed to be, right? This guy killed his mom because she knew that he killed her dad.
Yeah, something... Something stinks.
I would just like to thank the public for their prayers
and
for their concern for both my mother and for myself. And I would like to thank the crew of the ship that rescued me, both for rescuing me and for treating me very well.
That by the actuality, it sounds like they decided when he was done talking.
Yeah. I don't know. Something just seems really fishy about it.
Grandpa, bizarre too.
Yeah. Grandpa!
What's his name, David?
Yeah, no, it's... David, you're David combining Wimp. All the Sorry. Stories in your head. No, remember, it's Eric Cartman?
Eric.
Nathan.
Yeah, which led to Eric Carmen of the Raspberry.
It's Nathan Carmen.
Everything has a connection here somehow. It's crazy.
But time is a circle, man.
When they said...
what?
Eric. This story is just so... I don't know. I'm just flummoxed by the whole thing. The fact the grandpa deal is just so huge.
I know.
And what's up with mom? Eric, where's grandpa? Or Eric, where are you? I decided not to go. Where's grandpa? I don't know. I haven't seen him.
I know. We had dinner.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually,
it's crazy.
No, my impersonation was off. It's right. I don't know. I had dinner.
Yeah, Grandpa just did. Grandpa didn't show. Grandpa blew me off.
I think
so. I decided not to come.
I think Grandpa might have just shot himself.
What were they meeting at 3 a.m. for?
To go to Rhode Island. Probably to go boating. They boated all the time.
Are you marveling at my my retention of the story?
Yeah, it's kind of lacking. And I feel like I'm taking responsibility in my own head for it. Like it wasn't a good enough story.
Hey, I'm busy coming up with stuff like Power Pop and the Raspberries.
Is that what we're going to now? The Raspberries?
Oh, we can leave the raspberries behind, I guess.
Should we try?
All right, I was going to point out the similarity to something, but it's not really very important.
Oh, Zach Hampel or Count D Dubs, David Wimp?
I have a Wimp number that seems to be popping up all over the place. Ooh. So.
Hold on to that power pop for later, Jay.
All right.
Power pop.
This might just bring you out of your funk, though, if we get David Wimp on the phone.
Oh, I could be so fired up to get the Wimpster.
The Wimpster.
You know somebody's called him that. He probably got bullied big time. I mean, if it wasn't bad enough that he likes to count by ones to large numbers, his last name is Wimp.
One, 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 one. Really?
That's the response of a guy.
Hagensacker.
Who lived next door to...
Warren Sapp? No. Mike...
Mike Evans?
Mike Evans.
Tampa?
The Tampa Bay wide receiver. Right.
And for some reason, our caller ID said 11111. So he answered the phone. We didn't even know it said that. He answered the phone. 11111111.
Hello.
This is David?
Yeah.
David Wimp?
Yes.
Count David Wimp. Count David Wimp. Is this Count David Wimp?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Count himself. Hey. Do you ever remember talking to the Drew and Mike show in Detroit when you were doing your counting to a million or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a while. You remember that, huh?
That's been a while.
Yeah, it was one of your better interviews, I think.
You had a great time.
Yeah.
And you counted. You know, we were just reading your story. We've been fascinated with your work over the years, and Mark was just reading your story. And the amazing thing is that I never knew that when you got your count way up there, you started subtracting by one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that.
Now,
did you go all the way back down to zero, or did you enter the scary territory of negative numbers?
Huh?
You never got all the way to zero. You don't take that chance, do you? And when you were subtracting,
no.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to fly too close
but,
to the sun.
You know, what I was marveling at was, think of how high you could have gotten if you hadn't subtracted for a while. I mean, you got this wild hair. You suddenly said, subtracting is so cool, I got to do it for a while. But think of how high the number would have been if you had never gotten into the subtraction thing.
65?
Well, I started over.
You started from scratch?
Yeah, but I'm doing it a different way now.
How do you do it now?
Huh?
Man. How are you doing it now, David?
I got these hand slot games I'm counting on.
I'm not familiar with hand slot games. Can you explain that to me?
Well, like on a smartphone?
No, it's... I bought them a while back, and I started counting on them, and I'm up at...
Wait, slot?
Like I don't know, 181 million.
Whoa.
You've counted to 181 million?
Yeah, I started, 2013.
Now, do you still, you used to keep the paperwork of, you know, the slip that showed you're counting. Do you still keep paperwork to prove that you've counted?
Oh, yeah, I got them in a box.
Oh, my God. Can I go through that one time just to kind of verify? I mean, do you ever have somebody like a accounting firm come in?
Yeah, like Ernst & Young.
Nobody's ever said anything.
Mr. Wimp.
They trust your system.
Count David Wimp, what do you think the grand total is of all the numbers you've counted? Because you've started over, you've gone backwards. What do you think the grand sum of all the numbers you've counted is?
Probably close to 200 million.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Do you kind of wish that you'd never changed styles or games or subtracted because you could be at 200 million right now?
Oh, I'm getting there.
Have you ever gone by twos, like on a weekend, get a little crazy, add a few twos in there?
No.
Mark.
What?
Dick. Why? Why would you do that?
Because it's the weekend.
That's cheating. Wouldn't that be cheating, David?
No, it's not cheating. It's having fun.
Don't you think it'd be like cheating, counting by twos?
Only on the weekend.
No.
Yeah. See,
don't you think it's
shut up, Drew.
Don't you think it's a stupid idea, though?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's really stupid.
Oh, yeah,
your thing is counting by one.
Because everything else
you get
is
really
insane.
You get a crazy high number, maybe subtract a little bit, go back to counting by one, but never by twos or threes. That's for wimps. I mean, no offense. That's for, I don't know who that is. It's for saps. People that cheat.
Yeah.
People like the easy way. People that take shortcuts count by twos and threes. You count by ones.
Yeah.
That's your thing. That's your shtick. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Count David Wimp, how much time do you devote to counting still?
Oh, off and on when I ain't doing nothing else.
What are you doing when you're busy? I mean, do you work for a living? I don't remember.
No, I'm 71 years old, and I'm retired, and I live in an independent living home.
Very nice. Cool. My mom lives in a place like that. Probably a lot like yours. Maybe not.
Do all the other residents gather around while you're counting?
No, they don't know nothing about it.
Oh.
Well, why not? They haven't read about you?
Open up. You'd be famous within the living community.
Huh?
They haven't read about you because you've gotten publicity. You're in the newspaper. You're on the internet. Everyone knows about Count David Wimp.
Well, I ain't seen nothing of it yet.
You didn't know that you've gotten attention on the internet?
I don't have a computer, so I don't know.
How do you think people, you're aware though that we all find out about your work. I mean, we're all the way in Michigan. We know what you do.
Yeah, I know that.
Are we the only ones that ever interviewed you?
No, not on this one.
This one, it's the same.
It's a different count. He's on a different.
But I mean, do you have like cuttings from the newspaper from your old counting? Like hanging up in your room?
Well, they're packed in boxes.
Oh. You got a lot of boxes, don't you?
Well, there's little ones around somewhere. We're just in a two-bedroom apartment.
Does anybody
I
ever...
mean, one bedroom.
Count David Wimp, does anybody ever say, David, you know what? We got to start throwing this stuff out and clean things up. These boxes full of numbers, and this stuff has to go. And you say, nope. That's proof of my counting to whatever I counted to. I mean, do people ever try to get you to throw that stuff out?
No.
They don't. They know how important it is.
Yeah.
They get it. You said you're retired. What did you do for a living when you had a job?
Well, I was in the Army,
I worked
at Wendy's and...
Oh, cool.
Janitor.
Do you like Frosties?
Huh?
Do you like Frosties at Wendy's?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't those great?
Don't you think their chili is very underrated?
Oh, I made it in there.
Oh.
Cool. Make your own and eat it, huh? Hey, when you got French fries, did you count them by ones just to make sure you had the right amount?
No.
No.
Yeah, what a ridiculous question, Drew.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if it expends to a regular life.
Ignore him. That's a ridiculous
Mark, you would have asked if he counted his French fries by twos.
Did you give change only in pennies?
I didn't do the cash register.
Oh. Why is that?
I didn't know how.
Oh.
Understandable. So the Wendy's, the janitorial gig, and then what was the third gig?
I thought he was a teacher. Were you not a teacher?
Or the Army.
Oh, I've been out of Wendy's 10 years.
Oh. Yeah. What did you do in the Army exactly? Did you go to war?
What?
Were you ever in a war like Vietnam, for example?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding. Did you get sent overseas to fight?
Yeah, I was over there... 68, 60,
wow.
67, 68, and 70.
You weren't, I don't know, I mean, you weren't ever have the misfortune of being sprayed with Agent Orange or anything, were you?
No, they wanted me to take a whole physical for that.
Why bother?
What?
I didn't want to.
Yeah, you're fine. Well, why did you just didn't want to waste the time because you knew you weren't sprayed?
Yeah.
What did you do in the Army?
Save the government a lot of money.
Cook.
Oh, you were a cook in the Army.
Oh, wow. A cook, huh? God, Wendy's must have been frustrating to be at a fast food place when you could probably cook much better food.
Oh.
We got a laugh out of Count David Wimp.
That's the second one today.
What was the first one?
I can't remember. You did laugh at something. I think when you were ragging on me for counting my dues. Now,
I gotta go.
No,
what?
What?
Where are you going? Are you going back to counting?
Well, I'm doing that, but I'm watching TV too.
What are you watching?
A new show called Dr. Bull.
Dr. Bull?
Bull. Yeah.
Dr. Bull? And you can't rewind it and get back caught up?
No.
No? Do you have a TiVo, for example, or a DVR?
No.
No?
I'd like
to watch it live.
Is Bull based on Dr. Phil? Is that the show?
Yeah, that's the guy used to play on NCSI.
Yeah. CSI, great show.
Well,
yeah, DeNozzo.
Yeah.
Tell you what, the Count David Wimp, it's been wonderful talking to you. It's an honor. And we'd love to be in touch, man. Yeah, we'd like to stay in touch with you and see what kind of new exciting activities you're up to with your counting.
Okay.
Okay, Count. Great talking to you.
Yeah.
Have a great night. David?
Oh, Melrose hang up from Count David Wimp.
Was it Melrose hang up?
Hey, Bull just started. He's got to get to the TV, man.
And if you're, that's really an old reference, but just for the sake of people who may be coming back to the show or new to the show, on Melrose Place, when people hung up the phone, especially Amanda.
Yeah. Is that Courtney Thorne Smith?
No.
What'd she look like?
The superstar. Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
Heather Locklear's main character. Yeah. Her and other people did it too. They just knew when the phone call was over, and they would just hang up. They never said goodbye. It'd be this real dramatic conversation would end with some, you know, dramatic call for action or something, and then both people would hang up, but they would never say goodbye. So that became the Melrose hang up, which I thought was great because I think so much time is wasted saying hello and goodbye.
Yeah.
And I still
David Wimp agrees.
I stick to my theory on that. I believe if people would just leave and not say goodbye. Think of all the time that would be saved.
Like yeah.
When families get together. You got his voice down pretty good, Mark.
It's very similar to,
did you get yourself something to eat? Yeah, what'd you eat? Pink's not. No, pizza.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Did you order you something to eat?
Yeah,
what'd you eat?
No.
What are you doing? You love me? Yeah.
Do we have the whole conversation?
Yeah.
Just the drop.
That's you miss me?
You want to kiss me?
I think the whole thing.
You want to kiss me?
The whole thing's available on YouTube.
You want to kiss me? Ah, that's one. One bat. Two bats. Three fabulous flyers.
What in the hell was that? I've never heard that drop.
It's the count, man. From Sesame Street.
Oh, the count.
Yeah.
I would have asked
fabulous flyers.
Mr. David Wimp, the Count David Wimp, about that count. I wonder if he's jealous of him.
That's what he aspires to be.
He doesn't know about all his publicity.
Yeah. Now.
I figured there'd be somebody saving all that stuff for him. Because how do we, you know, when we originally set that up, it was on one of those interview services. Everybody's going, oh, it was really mean of you to call David Wimp. No, he was set up on an interview circuit.
Oh, that made his night, man.
And he was available to be interviewed, just like any other person. You could have, I don't know. I mean, all kinds of people would show up on that stuff. Somebody plugging a book or somebody, you know, who witnessed a terrible accident or, I mean, any crazy thing could be on there.
A lot of life coaches, too, around there.
Yes. A lot of those types of people. But, you know, for whatever reason, they wanted to be interviewed by as many radio stations as possible. And, you know, we'd always go through that thing every week. And when that David Wimp story came up, it was like, this is so ridiculous, we have to call. Not really knowing what we were coming into.
Gold mine.
Yeah, we had no idea that someone just a fabulous entertainer like Count David Wimp was on the other end. In fact, I don't even know. Did they say he was? Did he went by Count David Wimp, or is he educated?
I think he went as David Wimp, but his friends called him the Count, so hence Count.
Oh,
David.
Yeah, and we respected that, of course.
Yeah. Trying to find the phone call between Anna and Daniel.
Daniel. Daniel.
Yeah.
You love me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you have?
Mm-hmm.
Pink nut.
Huh?
Pig snot?
Mm-hmm. Pig snop?
Pink nut.
No, pizza.
Pig snot?
Oh. Oh.
Pizza.
It's kind of fun to talk like Daniel. it's kind of fun to talk like Daniel.
He was so annoyed.
He was playing his video games.
I could not. I still can't to this day. In fact, you know, the 10-year anniversary of her death was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was her death. Or it might have been. It might have been the 10th birthday of the kid.
Oh, Danny Lynn.
Yes. And first of all, when she died, the idea that, you know, we have no idea who this chick's been fucking. She'd been banging so many people. I mean.
But it was.
She's been banging a lot of people. We have no idea who the father is.
Was it ever in doubt, though?
You think there were momentary doubts. Mark, there were, what, four guys suing for paternity?
Yeah.
And I think they eliminated a few more before they started. I think they whittled it down to the four. It was like Maury Povich. I mean, how big a slut can you be? How about that one chick that was on, you know, you are the father. What did they call that show?
Maury Povich?
No, but I mean, wasn't there a name for those shows?
I don't know. I thought it was just that.
Well, anyway, there's one chick on there who's trying to find out who the father is, and they've brought in nine guys. Every time is, you are not the father. You know, and of course, then they do the big end zone dance. Yes! Yes! And they're taunting the chick, you know, finger in her face.
She runs
in your face
backstage.
She runs backstage bawling her eyes out. Anyway, after the ninth person was declared not to be the father, Maury sits her down and he's like, I'm sorry. I know how upsetting this is, but we're going to find this guy. We're going to find him. What, that one penis she just can't remember?
I
don't know if it was nine dicks or 10 so dicks or gross. 12 dicks. I don't know.
I've caught a lot of Maury recently.
Really?
Oh, well, yeah.
When is he on?
Because you're trapped
because
at home.
Because I was trapped at home without a vehicle. And so I caught a few episodes. I want to say he's on it a little. Well, it's not during Price is Right. No, I want to say it's around noon. Right around noon, 1 o'clock maybe.
Is he doing You Are Not the Father?
Yeah, but not every day. I think this morning or yesterday, the last time I caught it was. My grandmother is sleeping with my boyfriend.
Hot.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Hot was grandma?
She was hot.
Was
no,
she?
No, of course not. She was.
What?
She was terrible. And but you know what? I actually think grandma was
grandma.
More attractive than the actual.
Oh, wow.
How have the paternity cases been?
They've been, you know,
from an entertainment standpoint,
exactly the same. You're either going to do the end zone dance and the girl runs in the back, or I told you, and he's going to own up to it.
I love how, you know, instead of just reading the results, Maury has to go through the whole story where they both call each other liars.
I want to be in the audience so bad for one of those.
And so often there's like the guy will show up with the chick that he dumped the pregnant chick for, or the chick that had the baby for.
Yeah.
You know, so there's this love triangle created out of it with two people basically yelling at the other girl what a slut she is. And the crowd is so obnoxious. Is the crowd still rowdy as hell?
Oh, yeah. Everything. That's why I want to be a member of the audience. And the best part about these lie detectors.
Oh, it's an honor. It's a huge honor.
Is they don't even really get right to the paternity a lot of times or whether or not you slept with somebody. They ask obscure questions like, have you ever thought about banging another chick? And then as soon as that's a lie, because everybody does in one way, shape, or form. You know, then it leads to the girl going, I can't believe you. How could you do this? But they ask so many different questions. You know, it's really a great show still to this day. But you never know if it was like an episode from 4 or 5 years ago or if it's an episode that's brand new. because I guess they're all pretty evergreen.
Hmm. Yeah. I suspect that a lot of that's repeat because he's been doing it for so long. I mean, you could sneak in a show from 10 years ago, and who's going to go, oh, I've seen this.
Well,
he's not the father. Turn the channel.
Springer's still on, and then Springer's old, what's that guy, Wilco?
Steve?
Yeah, Wilco. Or something.
He's got his own show,
he's
right?
Got his
Steve
own.
Show.
So there's paternity. There's a whole two-hour block of
Wait,
them.
Don't tell me Wilco does paternity Wilco. Shows.
He does.
Are you kidding?
Wilco.
That's Maury Schtick.
Oh, Wilco.
Bullshit.
I think he tries to dive into deeper conversation, though.
Well, no wonder that show sucks.
Deeper conversation. Yeah. should we call Zach Hampel?
Yes.
He's trying to
Do you remember why we were going to call him?
Well, yeah, no, I'm having second thoughts.
Why?
Well, of course he's gonna of course be appalled and suggest that he has no interest whatsoever in.
Well, then we edit it out.
He may be at the Yankee game. They're playing the Red Sox, and he's probably got a client.
He's got a cell phone. Oh yeah, he takes people to games, and they pay him what, like $500 or
Fake.
Something.
He's never no one. He offers to. No one's ever paid him for that, right?
I don't know. I doubt. Why would any adult pay someone to show them how to catch a foul ball? What? Seriously, how stupid does a person have to be to think that that's a good deal? The ball that you catch is worth $10.
Yeah.
Why would you pay someone a few hundred bucks?
But you get the experience. I mean, Drew, you can teach a man. You can give a man to fish. He eats for a day. You teach a man how to catch a foul ball. He catches them for a lifetime.
No, that's okay. A valid point.
He did just recently tweet at the ballpark.
Oh, what'd he say?
He'll answer the phone. Won't he answer the phone if we call?
He'll answer his phone, I think, because he always thinks it's something important because he can't get over how important he is.
He must be sitting in the bleachers because he tweeted a picture of a guy who's got $30 sitting on the railing, and he just tweeted, this is how you lose $30.
What?
I'm suspecting he's thinking the wind's going
to
pick it up.
Oh, he's, I want to call him just to tell him to shut up about the $30. The guy is $30 where?
On the railing?
Yeah, sitting on a railing.
So instead of telling the guy, hey, you might want to watch your $30 there, he tweets it out and he's going to teach us all a lesson.
Oh, boy.
Is he going to tweet us when the $30 is no longer there to show that,
See,
someone stole the $30?
Yeah, right.
And then show the guy with his palms in the air, like, where's the $30?
Recently tweeted about a marriage proposal on the Jumbotron.
Oh, is that's where the guy dropped the wedding ring, right? Was that from tonight, or is that two nights ago?
You know, it says that he tweeted this 2 hours ago.
Yeah, some guy was, I think it was tonight, then. He asked his girl to marry him, and he dropped the wedding ring.
Where'd he drop it?
Just in the crowd, so now, of course, it becomes everybody's problem.
Right, everyone's on their knees looking at it. Someone's knees are on it.
Do you want to see hear the audio or see the video?
Yeah, that sounds very amusing.
Yeah, of course, he loses it while on the scoreboard. This is from Deadspin. If you're going to do the extremely performative move of proposing to your spouse live on a Jumbotron, a sporting event, don't lose the ring.
Duh.
This is from Major League Baseball.
What an oaf. That reminds me of Show and Tell that I told you guys about where this girl, name's Diane Riff, I still remember it, in first grade, she went to China or somewhere with her family over the summer, and she somehow got this ridiculous, it was like chimes.
Oh God!
But they were glass chimes, like blown glass chimes, and she dropped it on her way up to the front of the class for show and tell, and the whole thing just went crash. Yeah. Everything broke. She's bawling her eyes out.
Good going, Riff.
No, and she was an oaf to start with too. She's one of those really big, gangly girls.
Well, the last oaf we talked about was the guy running the steeplechase at the Olympics. Remember that oaf who tripped over his own feet and then went face first in the steeplechase from the country of Oaf? Yeah.
There are a lot of oafs out there.
The Democratic Republic of Oaf.
But the guy that helped his brother across the finish line the other day, did you see that?
Look at all these dopes.
Yeah, that was inspiring.
Sorry. Wait, what were you talking about?
This guy, Brandon, you saw it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, one guy.
Is his twin brother?
I don't know if they were twins, but the one brother was in the lead, but you could tell that he hit that quote-unquote wall when you're running.
Yeah, like literally he's falling to the ground and people are passing him. And his brother, who was in second place, wasn't he?
Yeah, his brother was running with another guy and they were competing for second place.
And the brother picks up the ailing brother to help him across the finish line. So they both finish in like 99th place.
And 100th. I thought they finished in second and third.
No, did they?
I think they might have. But he gave up his opportunity to win to pick up his brother.
I didn't even think he placed. Can you look it up?
I will.
All right, here's the Yankee fan, and watch all these poor people looking for this dope ring.
Next time, just go along with it, Brandon, instead of correcting him. Right away. Please.
I mean, he's nervous. This is like...
It was a much more powerful punch when he was in 99.
Can't find the ring. The box is empty. Oh, that poor guy.
And why pick the guy up anyway? He doesn't deserve to finish third. He fell. So what? He sucks. He's out of shape.
I was just wondering why you weren't paying any attention to what was going on, and I realized you don't have headphones on. That's why you couldn't hear the audio.
What's playing?
They're talking about how all these dopes are looking for this guy's ring. The Yankees fan? God, we are all over the map.
I'm listening.
See, up to hop.
It's the part two crowd.
I mean, he's nervous. This is like... big moments of his life, and now he can't find the ring. The box is empty. Oh, that poor guy.
No, the oaf.
Look at this poor guy.
Maybe he can come up with a save somehow.
He's an oaf.
You know what? It's one of those things, too, where everybody's looking for it, except for the idiot that dropped it. He's just beside himself.
Which guy is he?
I think he's in the Jeets. No, he's in the Jackie Robinson jersey.
Maybe somehow he can come up
Look at this poor guy.
Maybe he can come up with a save somehow.
Looking, he's not.
You get it?
He needs Mariano to come in for the save.
Yeah, he does.
I forgot Mariano Rivera was grandfathered in wearing the Jackie Robinson jersey.
Well, how do they know he's not a Jackie Robinson fan?
They're smiling. Yeah,
they found it. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
What'd she say?
Oh, she's saying, say no.
He's on one knee. That is awesome.
With oaf.
Oh, she better say yeah now. Oh, that poor guy.
Say no. Please say no. Please.
It's funny. The women around there seem to be way more excited than the guys around there.
Interesting. Ooh, oh,
fuck off,
they interrupted with a Pepsi commercial?
There was a couple on the scoreboard in center field where the guy asked the young lady to marry him, took out the ring, and the ring dropped, and they could not find it. And they're looking now under the chairs to see if they could get the ring.
Wait, I thought they found it.
The look on the guy's face, Kenny, was priceless.
The longer version.
He looked at the empty box and then panicked and looked at it. Look up for the ring.
What, he dropped it again?
No, this is a different.
I know. Wouldn't that be hilarious if he did drop it again?
Oh, that's not a good start.
There's the young man right here.
Oh,
I love the people
guy.
That are walking up on this.
You
know, there's like 50 people looking for this ring, and they're walking up like they're going to help.
Because they're going to grab if they find it, they're going to grab it and go, I can't see it anywhere. Yeah, they go pawn it.
Yeah, I'd say there's at least three or four people in there who are considering how much they could pawn it for.
Maybe somehow he can come up with
this. Look at this poor guy.
Maybe he can come up with a save somehow.
He actually is. He looks like he's pretty uptight.
He can start looking. Everybody else
He needs
looking.
Mariano to come in for the save.
Yeah, he does.
Mariano Rivera with the save. What do you know? Mariano Rivera finds the ring of all the people. He happened to be sitting in the section. Came over there and makes the save.
Now, this is how it started from the jump.
Presents the ring to the oaf that dropped it. And he's dropped it again.
He fumbles right away. I mean, he's nervous. This is like one of the big moments.
Oh, they replayed him fumbling the.
Yeah. Can't find the ring. The box is empty. Oh, that poor guy.
How stupid.
Line drive, right field. They base it.
Zach Hample probably found the ring and never gave it back.
Don't mind picking out a pinch out over the plate. Goes the other way. Our Cadillac scoreboard, it's 2-0.
All right.
Yankees lead.
We've milked this oaf enough, haven't we?
I don't even care. I don't care anymore.
I know. I wish you hadn't found it.
Well, speaking of your favorite brother runners, So, in fact, not only did they indeed finish second and third in the race, the actual brother that helped the guy that hit the wall, he finished third. He pushed his brother into second place.
Oh, how ridiculous. Yeah. What kind of a lesson is that?
He was a good big brother.
Be out of shape and win.
Thanks, big brother.
Be out of shape and finish ahead of people who are in shape. It's complete crap. Oh, we do have the whole... Yeah, crank the call. The Ananas...
Oh, you found it?
Yeah.
What episode was it in?
Pumpkin.
Episode one.
Daniel, what are you doing?
Nothing.
You miss me?
Uh-huh.
You want to kiss me? Uh-huh. You love me? More than all the raindrops in the water and all the fishes in the sea?
Yeah.
Aww. I love you too that much also. I just got back from the guest party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or does he not care?
Are you doing okay? Did you order you something to eat? Yeah, what'd you eat?
Pizza.
Huh? Pizza. Pig snop.
No, pizza.
Yeah, pig snop, you fat
pizza.
Ass.
Oh, pizza. Okay.
Hey,
I love you.
Let me talk to him right quick.
Okay,
just
because
you'll eat pig snop if you're hungry. Other people don't.
He says, love you. If you need anything, call me.
Okay.
Yeah,
later.
Hold on.
Ooh. Please get off the phone.
But of course everybody was going after Dani Lynn. She was worth $49 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that old codger's money.
Yeah, well, that's how
How much of the old bag's money did she get? The 90-year-old.
Well, at her death, it said that she was worth $49 million. That's what went to Dani Lynn.
What a joke.
They were in love, Drew.
I mean, that family was so pissed. Even though they were getting tons of money, they could not bear for that slut to get whatever she wants. She sued for way more than that.
Yeah.
Now, the guy was so old, there's no way she even beat that guy off.
Well, she could have tried. Maybe he just
I don't believe she even tried.
Maybe he just likes seeing her titties or something.
He was worth $1 billion.
Wait, did he go to titty bars all the time?
Yeah, that's where he met her, right?
Oh, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Still, should the guy have to give away $50 million? Because
he wanted to, though.
I know. Look how damn happy he was, though, to have that piece of ass on his lap in the wheelchair.
Thrilled. Just thrilled.
I don't know. It just is so pathetic that someone, you know. So, God, where'd you earn all your money? You've done so well. Well, I used to try and beat off this 90-year-old guy, and he married me because nobody else would even consider touching his genitals. He was so disgusting. But I did a few times, and he left me $50 million.
Ugh.
Oh, that's a great story. God.
Look at the wedding picture where they're putting the cake in each other. He looks like...
Oh, how ridiculous.
Looks like the Tales from the Crypt guy. Can't remember his name.
The Crypt Keeper.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Is that pathetic?
Yeah, he was worth $1.6 billion.
And I guess she was really attracted to him.
Oh, you know what? He never put it in his will, though. He orally promised her.
Right, because he's like, I'm not giving somebody $50 million for pounding me off a few times.
He's probably about to blow his first load in 60 years.
She couldn't even get me to blow dust.
He thought he was about to blow his first load in 60 years. I'll give you half of my worth. I'll give you half of everything.
If you're right there, right there, right there, right there.
Ugh. Do you know how long they were married for, though?
A couple years.
13 months.
13 months? 13 of the happiest months of her life.
They went all the way.
So
to
sure
it went all. Anna Nicole Smith was at the Supreme Court. That is hilarious.
Oh,
and
I
of course
him.
They ruled against Anna Nicole Smith.
He was a good stepdad.
Yeah.
Should we call Zach Hample?
Yeah.
Yankees game looks like it just ended, so...
Oh, well, but get Hample on the horn.
I wonder if Zach found that. I wonder if he was involved in that search for the ring, since he's so good at these things.
Well, we got that to talk to him about, the $30 on the railing, but most of all, if he found one of the Jose Fernandez balls.
He did also tweet out a picture of the Jose Fernandez memorial they had, so...
Oh, okay.
I think the guy, he may just go apeshit if we suggest he's involved in somehow in the, in the Jose Fernandez ball.
Well, just...
Hello?
Is this Zach?
Yeah, who's this?
Zach, it's Drew and Mark in Detroit.
Remember?
I'm sorry, I can't hear him on a noisy train. Who's this?
Drew and Mark in Detroit.
Oh, what's going on?
How you doing?
How was the game?
It was good. I'm going to lose reception in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Well, why'd you answer the phone?
Is there a time to call where you'll be able to hear?
I mean, I'll be home in about an hour.
Oh.
But you'll be in a train pretty much the whole way till then?
Maybe I'll probably be out of the subway.
Oh my God.
A little sooner, actually. Maybe try me in half an hour, I guess.
Did you get any balls tonight?
Yeah, 9 in batting practice.
Oh,
I'm back to lose you guys.
How many did you keep?
Oh.
Wow.
See ya.
Seriously, why did he answer the phone?
That was a fake out because he knew we were going to ask how many balls he kept, and he just wanted to be able to not answer that question.
Honestly, why did he answer the phone?
He got 9 balls during batting practice. What is the point? How much can he get for those 9 balls?
Nothing. He just likes doing it. Whatever.
Yeah, but he's got to pay for a ticket to the game.
Well, I know, but he stayed for the game, too. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a little weird. It's a little childish.
I don't know how he makes a living. I don't understand it. I really don't. He doesn't catch enough milestone balls to justify. Does he have another job?
I don't know.
What's your job?
Sure.
Yeah, I go and try to catch foul balls at the Yankees game.
Oh, to Joe. $8,000.
What milestone balls has he gotten?
Well, he got A-Rod's 3,000th career hit. That was a big one.
Oh, God. That was just fucking luck.
Yeah. Well, no, not if you ask Zach.
Mark, there's like 17 sections you can be in where a home run is hit.
But he does his studying to know where that ball is going to be hit based on previous. I don't know. Why am I defending him?
You know what?
I'm doing it for the sake of arguing.
I was actually imagining this guy on the computer looking at A-Rod's home run balls and what sections they land in with arrows going
through. I'm not joking. I think he actually does do that.
I think he does, too.
Because there's that one website that shows you where every home run ball lands per guy and how far it went. And then you can overlay each park with it to see how many you would have hit in each individual park. I only know that because remember we're going to track Prince Fielder to see how many of his home runs in Texas would have been home runs here.
Oh, yeah.
But then it didn't matter because he got injured.
I know.
Tired.
Zach is a writer, too, because his dad was a famous writer.
His dad was?
His dad was, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Stu Hample, he wrote.
Stu Hample. I remember Stu Hample,
like children's books and stuff.
Thank you, card. Stu Hample's a hell of a writer. Larry King tweets about him once in a while.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm done. How long have we gone? We've gone
way too long. Yeah. You want to play my raspberry song?
Mess of 2 parts tonight.
Like 4 hours.
No, part two.
I know, because it's been a mess, Brandon.
I think part two is a hit, I'm telling you.
Well, sometimes messes can be a beautiful thing.
If you agree or disagree with me about part two, please let me know.
Who doesn't like to look at a car wreck?
It's not a car wreck. We had Count David Wimp on.
Well, that was clearly the highlight. But it took us
That's a highlight of the week.
It took us a weird way to get there. And then that led us to Anna Nicole.
Yeah.
Go ahead, crank the Pretenders.
And we busted that autistic guy as a murderer.
Oh, yeah, that was very worthwhile.
And we learned about the Power Pop.
Power Pop!
Power Pop Pop Podcast. Popping peas with the Power Pop Podcast.
I'm trying to remember why
the song sucks, and I've never heard it.
I can't even remember why I was going to play this.
Just sing like this.
What's that?
Oh, it's awful.
It's Power Pop. Like, shut up.
You like this, really?
It's not my favorite raspberry song, but it was a hit.
Is this what you and your boyfriend dance to?
I'm really surprised you haven't heard any of these raspberry songs.
I've never even heard of the band.
Go All the Way is like a staple in rock radio.
It's a hole in my knowledge, man.
Yeah.
Do we have any instructions for people tonight? I guess...
Instructions?
I'm just trying to remember... No, the Fox 2 thing ran today. Nobody needs any instructions for that. Just watch it 9 times and write great comments.
Go to the website. Go to DroneLikePodcast.com. Go to the Facebook page and like it.
I'm horrified by the whole thing. I can't stand looking at myself on TV. It's not the same person I see in the mirror.
Well, you barely have to look at yourself. Jay gets all the screen.
That's true. I know. I was thankful that Jay stole the spotlight, basically. Literally. I mean, the lighting is so much better for Jay in the background.
It really is.
No, I don't want to steal your spotlight, Jay. So the lighting's been moved and changed.
Well, apparently I realize I make weird faces when I talk. It freaks me out.
Who said that?
Julie. And I said, do I always do that?
Goes, just yeah. Julie or anybody else?
Yeah. Well, Charlotte was there, but she doesn't care.
Jay, do not take yourself out of the spotlight.
Jay's focusing all the lights on Drew. You'll be sweating in no time.
I'd rather have less lighting than more lighting. Man, cameras in your face, it's like, oh, please. I don't want to be looked at that closely.
So, I'll be serious for a second, though. I thought Ryan did a really good job with that piece.
Oh, he did a phenomenal job. He only had 2 minutes. He got him to stretch it to 340, and he got everything in.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. I don't know how you do that, because usually, depending on how it's written, there's so much little fluffy stuff in there that you go, oh, but he didn't even mention this. He left that out. Oh, my God. But I couldn't think of anything to complain about, except for the camera. Well, except for the fact that I was the subject of the piece.
Jay was the subject.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was the secondary subject. I would have rather been tertiary or not at all.
That's okay. I decided to go on the Raspberries Wikipedia page and guess how it describes them. Power pop. An American power pop band.
Do they describe?
There's actually a Wikipedia entry for power pop.
Can you check the power pop category and see what other bands they put in there?
Yeah, power pop has been described as a mixture of big hard star. Rock, melodic pop music. Thus, power pop tries to be more aggressive than pop rock.
I got one
rock.
For Eric, or Jay. It's called Jay Eric. I need to be put away.
Home. You ready for some other bands?
Not yet, because I need to tell Jay to put on Big Star, the Bangles hit. They wrote the original version of September Girls.
It's power pop when Big Star plays it.
You're listening to Drew Wave.
Drew Wave.
Power That's pop. New wave music, some of which is power pop.
Well, they do mention Big Star. And they mention Badfinger. Then they mention Britney Spears, Green Day, Bay City Rollers, and Def Leppard.
Bay City Rollers, Def Leppard, I agree. Britney Spears, no way.
The Knack,
yeah, Knack fits.
Cheap Trick?
Yes, Cheap Trick is definitely
power pop. Elvis Costello?
Yeah, at times, for sure. I noticed that I like most of the artists that are considered
power pop. Now, some of the more contemporary ones they name Weezer.
Yeah, good call.
I love Weezer. The Cardigans?
Don't know much about them. Oh, Fountains of Wayne?
Remember the Cardigans?
Are Fountains of Wayne in there?
Love me, say that you love me. Gin Blossoms?
Yeah, it could be.
Not
my favorite power pop.
The Jonas Brothers?
Some of it sounds like pussy rock. Get the pussy rock out of power pop.
What song is this?
September Girls, Big Star. The original. Not that pussy rock version the Bangles do. Okay, Jay's got a list going too now. The Magnolias, Flaming Groovies. Flaming Groovies, I like the Flaming Groovies. Any Trouble. Oh, excellent call. Any Trouble. They do that version of ABBA I like. The Name of the Game? That's the name of the game. The Knack. The Big Star. Is the list end there? The Now, the Only Ones. The Modernettes. The Speedies. Fabulous Poodles. The Outlets. Action Now. The Scooters. Go. The Keys. They're losing me now. Helmet Boy.
Helmet Boy. Helmet Boy! Helmet Boy opening for Badfinger.
That is not the nickname you want as a child. I used to be called Helmet Boy. The Pleasers. The real kids, they're going way deep now. Robin Lane and the Chartbusters. My cousin Robin Lane. Yeah. The Monkees might even be power pop. Maybe. They're probably more pop. Who fucking cares? Okay. I think we're done.
How many hours did we do tonight? 13?
Three and a half.
It's like the longest 3.5 hours ever.
We didn't have to keep going. Jesus.
We had to get back on track. One way or another.
We made too many commitments along the way.
We did. We really did.
All right. You know what? LaDuff took us off track. That's my excuse.
I don't even think that's an excuse.
It was supposed to be a 10-minute interview.
I tend to agree.
And everything went askew, and it set the tone.
Yeah.
No, actually, you know what? I think we're going to get good feedback on tonight's programs. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Do you ever stop talking?
Trust me. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, if we can manage to wake up and have any energy left.
Why don't we just split this into 2 days?
Yeah, we'll run part two. Yeah, there you go. Edit that, Jay.
Hey, free out the whore!
We'll see ya!